Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 35. The glory of Christ as the head of the collective of two called marriage. Topic C. The condition of Christ as head that applies specifically to married people. Yet another point that we consider to be significant to address before we see the condition of Christ as the head over a marital union is that this principle applies to couples that married according to the marriage principle established by God and not to those individuals who are not united by marriage. When the scriptures inform us that Christ is the head of every man, that man is the head of the woman, and that God is the head of Christ, as we will see later, its first and second parts are not referring to those who are, for instance, single, widowed, or separated in a manner acceptable before the Lord. The condition of God saying that a man is the head of a woman is not a general condition in which any man is the head of any woman, but this is a restricted condition for a man specifically concerning his own and only wife. The marital relationship is one-to-one, as Christ has already shown us in the text seen in the previous topic and as Paul also shows us in the following texts. 1 Corinthians 7, 1-3. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Colossians 3, 18-19. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Besides being one-to-one, the relationship described above is still restricted to those united by marriage and does not apply to those who do not find themselves in this condition. People may choose to remain in a condition in which they do not join with others for married life and be very blessed by God and live productive and peaceful lives before the Heavenly Lord, as Paul teaches us in the following texts. 1 Corinthians 7, 7-9. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. 1 Corinthians 7, 32-35. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Adult people who believe in Christ and choose not to live a married life respond directly to the Lord in everything, and the Lord is their head in all aspects of their lives, applying even more exclusively to them what was seen in the previous chapter about the Lord being the head of every member of his body. Likewise, it also happens with the widower or the widow, since the marriage relationship was interrupted by the death of the other party, making the one who remains alive on earth becoming still more exclusively connected to the Lord. On several occasions, the scriptures reiterate that God, for example, is the Lord who defends widows and is zealous for them to be well cared for. For example, Romans 7, 1-4, 1 Corinthians 7, Psalm 68, 5. There are still other situations in which the husband's position as head of the woman can be affected and which occur due to some very specific separations, as exposed by Paul in the following text. 1 Corinthians 7, 10-16. Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart, a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Thus, the principles about what we intend to address about marriage in the next topics of this chapter do not apply directly to those out of marriage according to the cases mentioned above, unless they intend to change their conditions to a married state. Neither the one who wants to get married is more important than the one who does not want to get married, nor the one who does not want to get married is more important than the others who want to get married, but both the one who chooses not to get married and the one who chooses marriage receive from God the general will of how to live and walk according to each of these options. If a person chooses not to marry, there is a God-approved will of how one should live life as an unmarried person, as well as a God-approved will of how a person should live if one chooses to marry. Each one is called to live before God according to the specific situation that one chooses to live. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of order. If a person does not want to marry, this may be perfectly acceptable to God, and God can greatly bless that person's life. If, on the other hand, one wants to marry, this too is worthy of honor before God and should be so before other people. Nevertheless, God does not endorse the mixture of these things, that is, the single, for instance, wanting to live a half marriage or the married individual wanting to live a half single condition. This is simply not the general will of God, entering the sphere of fornication, lust, prostitution, and adultery, according to 1 Corinthians 7, 7-9. The single person, in a way, can serve the Lord with more exclusivity. And since one is not involved in a marriage, marriage matters simply do not apply to him or her. However, if one starts to burn with passion, one puts oneself in situations of high risk even in terms of one's eternal life, as the word of the Lord admonishes us. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, 13-20. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Likewise, married couples are called to be faithful each to their spouse, bearing in mind that Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Ephesians 5, 28-31. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In the marital matter, we may see, then, that in the broader will of God for people's lives, there are, in general, two significantly different alternatives to be chosen, and which are, 1, not to marry or, 2, to marry according to the principles of God. However, once a person chooses one way or another, each path also has its respective particularities to be followed.